Bowery Capital Startup Sales Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. This week on Buyerside Chat, we've got John Cochran, who is the VP of Operations at SaaS Optics. He actually got his start in finance while he was doing auditing at EY, so he's part of the big four there. Shifted into a couple high-growth tech startups, firstly Science Logic, and then moved to Higher Logic, doing everything from FP&A to being a corporate controller, and made his big career pivot when he joined SaaS Optics, started building products, became a product manager, and is now their VP of operations. So he's seen SaaS Optics go from about 80 people to over 200. They've combined with another company, Chargeify. They just did a big round of investment from Battery Ventures. So he's seen a ton on the buyer side. So really excited to go to this podcast with him. There's a few topics. There's actually quite a few topics we're going through, but I wanted to highlight a couple that stuck out to me. One is being able to show and adapt your product demo on the fly, and what specifically happened in the sale from Carta that helped them get the business. Two, why trying to show all your product features on a demo is like a really, really terrible first date. Should be no surprise there, but pretty funny analogy as we go into detail. And then lastly, you know, what he looks for when teams are presenting to him for budget approval and the kind of the surprising thing that actually trips them up most of the time. So without further ado, let's jump right in. Here's John.
John, welcome to the show, man. So excited to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Eugene. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to reconnect. Let's jump right into it. I've definitely been on the selling side for you before, but I'm curious if there are any sales processes that stick out in your mind as like the best run sales process you've been a part of being on the buyer side.
Yeah. So I think, you know, anytime you're going through a demo and somebody's trying to, you know, sell you their cool software or widget or whatever it might be, the best processes that I've ever been through have been the ones when somebody has really connected to the pain that I'm experiencing and in whatever I'm going through. And then the second piece of it is that they can just show you on the fly, hey, this is how it works. And it's really easy to use. So you showed us that with, you know, one of the things that we were going through, we had a lot of pain and just trying to help our employees travel from point A to point B. And make sure that they're, you know, properly taken care of. If there's a flight change or cancellation or something like that, how can we help them manage that? How can we take care of them from like a corporate responsibility standpoint? And you all pulled up Trip Actions, and it was just so easy to manage, to see, to set, you know, guidelines. It was just easy.
Yeah, I feel like connecting the dots between the pain you or the org are experiencing and the product you sell is kind of like that's the mecca. That's what you want. Is there anything about that process you remember of how either I or our team did that specifically? Is it like really good discovery, or we're like figuring things out as we go along? Like, how do we actually execute on that?
Yeah. So I forget who I heard this from, but I remember hearing a talk from another person who had a robust background in sales. And one of the things that they said they always led a call with was, hey, why did you even agree to jump on the phone with me? And it gives the person who is, it may have been you know, Eugene, you may have done that. I can't exactly remember if that was you or if that was somebody else, but it just gives, you know, the person that you're selling to an opportunity to say, this is what I really care about. And the teams that I've always respected throughout the sales cycle a lot were the teams that always came back to like, hey, John, this is like, we remember the pain that you articulated on that first call. Let's talk about that and let us show you how we can help you with that.
Yeah, what I hear there is I feel like so many software companies out there have so many different things we can be showing, and it's easy to fall into a trap of I want to show you everything. But if I'm hearing you right, it's a lot of it's I need to listen to what you're saying and what you're trying to solve for. And really just like, if I don't show 100% of the product, that's okay. Maybe that's actually better, right?
Yeah. And you know, I would say when I think about some of the best processes I've been through, many times you can actually run a better sales cycle by not opening up, you know, your application and jumping into the details and just talking about the pain. I would say the absolute best companies, the ones that, you know, achieve tremendous success. I think back to, you know, a number of years ago, whenever we were really struggling with cap table management. You know, that's a huge pain for accounting and finance people. And it's very complicated from an accounting standpoint. I remember we were trying to find a software solution to help us manage the whole cap table. And a rep named Alex from Carta, he may remember running this process for us back in the day. We were going through a demo process with them, and we had sat through with two or three other vendors at that point, and they had kind of taken that approach where they didn't open up the application. They just showed us some screenshots of their application. And we said, hey, Alex, could you actually just show us how this looks in their application on the first call, the discovery call? And he said, yeah, no problem. And literally just switched a screen, pulled up the application, ran us through it. He didn't have to bring in an SE or anybody like that. And I remember all of us just knew, you know, 10 minutes later, okay, this is going to be the tool that we buy. So, you know, first discovery call. Now, we didn't necessarily let him know that, right? Of course, because you got to retain some negotiating power throughout the process, but it was just such a powerful demo where not only did we talk about the pain that we were experiencing, but we also saw the solution, how easy it was to use. We were almost sold, you know, just within 45 minutes.
Wow, that's really cool. Would you mind going deeper on something I think through? And a lot of times as a sales rep, you get coached, don't show the product, don't tell them about your thing. Keep asking questions, like ask questions till they drop dead. But it sounds like what Alex was able to do was ask some questions and have a good conversation. Then you got to the point, hey, I'd really like to see how this works. And instead of fighting you on that, it's like, great, let me show you some things and maybe I'll ask some questions later. Does that feel right?
Yeah. So I think you've got to be careful, right, in that process, because you also, by, you know, opening up the hood and showing the application, if you're not ready to have that conversation, or maybe your application just isn't that simple. It's, you know, some of these SaaS and software tools out there, they are so simple, you can show them that way. But sometimes, you know, you need a more in-depth and an intentional conversation to say, dive into a specific pain point that warrants a separate call. You can still acknowledge, you know, the pain that somebody says, but then you can also guide them into, yeah, we'd love to show you the application, but why don't you send us an example of something that you're encountering that is really complicated, and we can show you how that works in our tool. And yeah, you still kind of keep that momentum. You might not have the, you know, the super wow moment I was just talking about there, but you can still not lose that momentum.
Yeah. How do you think through, because like a lot of companies, maybe you have one specific pain you're trying to solve and this company does that, but it's pretty expensive because they also do a lot of other things. They also solve a lot of other things. And I imagine if I'm that rep and I just tell you, yeah, I can solve this one thing, you might not be willing to pay that price. It's like, how do you think through them trying to build more value through the demo or the sales process? Because they know the price might shock you a little bit.
Yeah, I think when you start, if you understand the pain that somebody has and how your application solves that one pain, but your application does all these other things and you want to show them all the other value, I think many times it's the pressure that the rep has to, hey, how can I get a larger price tag? How can I land a larger commission? But you can run the risk of when you start talking about other things that aren't relevant to their pain point is maybe they won't hear, you know, they won't feel heard, or you can wind up getting, you can start then selling the features of your software rather than solving the pain that somebody is encountering. I think there are ways that you can explore and show value to a prospective buyer, but you've got to make sure, you've got to have, it's almost like a discovery process, right? It's like, I like to think of it almost as, well, I don't know. I'd like to think of it as dating, right? Like you wouldn't show up to your first date and then, you know, ramble off all the different reasons why you're a really great person and why they should date you. You would more so, like, you'd show up on the first date and you just want to get to know each other, right? And so, and then if the other person can lead you and let you into, you know, all the other different things about their life, it's similar, you know, it's the same type of process in a sales cycle. That's kind of how I feel about some of those things, right? You're building a relationship. It's not necessarily let me tell you why you should pick me.
Yeah. And that process happens over the course of many dates, but really that first date is like, hey, what are the most important things we're both trying to solve for? I don't know if I'm talking about dating or selling anymore, but
yeah.
and then you align on those, and that like earns more time for both parties for you to find out other other good parts of that match. Is that right?
Yeah. And I think in the, you know, the best companies, they also think about it in those terms of, hey, this is going to be a long-term relationship. And hopefully there's some sort of incentive structure in place there. Or if there isn't, then you should certainly be talking about this as a business of, hey, this is their immediate pain. How do we help them with that immediate pain and bring them in as a customer of ours? And then maybe over time, they're going to need help with their other pains as we get to understand what they're doing better. And then they can grow within your application. And that's where you get that expansion. Mm-hmm. But then you start running into the, well, you know, does the outside sales rep get the credit, or, you know, does the internal, you know, account manager get the credit? And so, you know, you don't want to create a competitive environment where people are, say, battling, you know, for who gets the commission. But the best organizations take that, you know, place the relationship with the customer front and foremost. And that's the main thing. And if that isn't the case, you start having, you know, you'll see that in the buyers are ultimately going to see through, you know, your disjointed organization.
You probably see that so much now on the operation side as well. It's like you talk about behavioral economics and incentives. If the rep is unfortunately incentivized where the only commission you get is what you sell up front, that's it, then they're going to want to try to get as much as they can in that initial sale versus this is a long-term customer relationship. How do we optimize the journey? Like, what's the 4-year, you know, size of the deal versus, hey, what can I get in year one, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And you've got to be thinking about the journey, you know, because a lot of these, especially as people are shifting more to subscription oriented business models, it's not that one and done sale. You really companies are valued based on a huge multiple and an increase in the company's value is their ability to retain customers. And then also their ability to say, grow customers on their platform. So hopefully, you know, orgs are thinking about that and, you know, not trying to jockey for position on that first sale.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. That's so helpful. Maybe we'll shift to pet peeves. So you've been on the receiving end of so many different sales presentations and processes. Are there any pet peeves that stick out?
I think the biggest pet peeve is when I feel like somebody is trying to tell me why I should do something or why their solution is the best in the market. You know, if I'm on a call with you, I'm clearly taking the call for a reason. You know, I invited you into the process or invited you into the vendor evaluation process, but I'm hoping that you can just help me solve the pain that I'm having. And I might sound like a little bit of a broken record there, but it really is about that pain. And when I feel like somebody is, say, trying to stretch me to see all these other cool things, or even worse, they show up with their, you know, their planned talk track of here's value 1, 2, and 3 that our software does. And I'm going, okay, I understand those are your values, but this is what I'm struggling with. And we're not talking about the pain that I'm having. It's just, it's like we're missing each other. And I'm going, I don't necessarily care that, you know, you're the best in category A, B, and C. I really need help here. And how can you help me here? And how does your solution help me with, you know, this piece of the puzzle?
Yeah. Can that sometimes be a good thing though? If a company or a rep is very confident what they're good at, and then you actually miss each other, that's actually okay because maybe they're not the vendor for you for that pain you're solving.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was on a different webinar and we were talking with our my CRO, and I was actually moderating the panel between our CRO and our CFO. And that was a big point that they kept talking about was understand the value of your platform and make sure that you're not, we actually looked at some data of what it would, you know, across, we surveyed a whole bunch of our customers and we said, hey, what is the number one, you know, reason that you're experiencing churn in your business? And one of the top reasons was a bad fit customer. You know, somebody sold a deal, you kind of connected the dots for how our, you know, the platform could help you solve the, you know, solve your pain, but it wasn't a match. You know, that match never should have happened. And it just results in unmet expectations, you know, frustration, and ultimately, you know, the customer's going to leave you, or you're going to wind up having a credit. So yeah, you're right in that sometimes that miss can be good if you can identify that and just say, hey, you know, we might not be the solution for you. You also build a whole lot of credibility and with the buyer, and when that pain maybe circles back around, They remember you because you were honest with them. And being honest and open through that process, you can't really put a price tag on that.
Yeah. Oh man, I feel like that's such a strong point. It's like there can be two things happening there. One is, if you're at a tech company and you don't have this widget yet, or you don't have the ability to really solve this pain yet, it's probably better to sell them if that's their biggest thing later versus a half-baked solution. And then the other is just the timing thing. Maybe the person is not having the pain that you solve directly right now, but because you are honest, in 3 months or 9 months or 15 months, they're going to think of you because it was a productive meeting, even though it was a miss at the time. There was like a clear value alignment, or like misalignment rather.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. People having honesty and transparency and not feeling like you're, you know, the used car, or being subjected to say the used car salesman, is just absolutely, you know, huge.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of my success in my like pipeline management as a rep was actually, I would always have a deal moving forward that was kind of on track, found pain, we're going through all the steps. But I always have one in my back pocket that was a miss 6 or 9 or 12 months ago, because either the timing wasn't right or they weren't having that pain now. I think they're having it now. So you kind of bring back those and almost double your pipeline if you build those relationships and think of the long game.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And that builds on itself. I mean, if you're constantly doing that, like you were saying, it only takes 6, 9, 12 months for you to start building a flywheel that just has momentum and keeps going. But yeah, having, you know, and I think the other thing with, if you build trust and reputation and like people really respect that, then all of a sudden you'll have, you know, you may not have sold a deal at that company, but then they're talking with their colleagues and they understand, oh, this is the pain I'm having. Have you used any other tools? You all of a sudden can have other people referring business to you because they'll trust the process that you ran.
Yeah. Oh man, it's so hard in sales to like really see the long term. I feel like especially when you're starting out, but the more repetitions you do, or you go from company to company, those relationships stay with you. I feel like it just becomes so clear, right, how to run a proper like relationship driven value sell.
Yeah,
it's cool to hear.
But that's also one of the reasons we're on the phone, Eugene. You know, I really respected the process that you ran with our business back in time. We're both at different points in our career right now. And, you know, the relationship and the way that, you know, you ran that process garnered a ton of respect from me and the team. And, you know, I didn't forget that.
I appreciate that. Yeah. My ego feels very good right now. All right. Let's, the last topic I wanted to cover is, like, you have such an interesting background through being in finance and now being an operations leader, you're a product manager. So you've probably seen so many different types of softwares trying to get approved through you as the decision maker or a key stakeholder many times. So I'm curious what you look for when somebody is presenting something to you for approval and how you decide this is a good idea or a bad idea right now.
Yeah, so you're right. From being in the finance, you know, managing a finance team, to then being on the product side and working with all different, you know, I've seen a lot of the different software tools that business units are using and that help, you know, help people do their daily job. And I've also been on the other side of that where, you know, I've been responsible for coming up with departmental budgets for, hey, this is the money that you can spend for your department, and, you know, been on the approval end of things. But I think the biggest thing I'm looking for is I'm looking for somebody to really connect the dots and show me how is this truly going to help the broader business achieve the goals that we have. I think a lot of times, you know, whether you're having pain as a business or whether you're having pain personally in an organization because you can't, you know, get all the data that you want, you know, it's easy to just look for how do I alleviate this pain, and oh, you know, why don't I go, you know, buy this other software tool that seems to solve this problem, and let's just go ahead and do that. But what you'll, if you're not careful in managing that process of the business, what you wind up having is you have all these different teams buying their own little tools to say solve their one little unique problem that might not help the other departments, and you have like subscription sprawl, and then before you know it, you've got all these different tools that don't work well together. And so what I'm always looking for is, hey, have you thought about how this tool not only impacts you individually, but how does this fit into the broader thing that we're trying to do as a team? How does this fit into our company goals? And, you know, have you connected those, you know, those dots together? And can you actually do this with the tools that we already have today? Do you really need this new tool? Like, what's so important about this new tool? And if somebody has done the due diligence, then they've really, you know, thought beyond themselves and thought how it ties into the market, and they've maybe, you know, taken a day or two or three to really connect those dots. That's really, I'm looking for a little bit of, you know, effort and due diligence on that process. But if somebody's just saying, oh, we have a pain, let's go buy a tool, it's almost always, you know, going to get a no.
So let's flip that. So now you're the person trying to get approval from your CFO or CEO. Are you working with the rep to help build that out, or you've just done this enough times where you say, thank you, rep, for the information. Now I need to build a more holistic business case. Like, how much do you work with the rep versus, you know, do it yourself?
I think where the rep can come into play is in, if the person doesn't have, I think many times a rep almost has a little bit of a, it can be dangerous to say, oh, you know, Eugene gave me this information, this is, you know, the data, because whatever data, you know, you provide, obviously it's going to be, you know, really pretty. It's going to support the buying case, whatever that is. If you can have, say, if the rep can help connect, you know, the buyer to somebody else who's in their shoes in another business, and who's been, you know, who has gone through the buying decision, who has seen the benefits on the other side of this thing, that is where the rep can be really powerful in helping, you know, build an internal business case, because then all of a sudden you have somebody else who has a ton of credibility because they're in the shoes of the buyer that you're trying to sell, and they can help them, you know, pull together some of the more emotional or emotive pieces of it, of like, this is how it transformed my team. And I can speak to that personally. So I think that's where a rep can really help assist the buying process, especially if the person that you're selling to doesn't necessarily have that network or can't reach out to other people, you know, that they know. So reps can add a lot of value there.
And maybe they're not an experienced buyer. Maybe they haven't been at the company for a long time, built credibility, or pushed a lot of, you know, six-figure budgets through. Like, if the vendor can help assist that person, empower them with, here are references that are really going to resonate, like very similar companies, very people in your shoes, that probably carries some weight. And then I kind of think of it from the rep side. That's probably something you need to test your potential champion on the other side. It's like, I'm so excited, we are aligned, this is going to solve this problem for you and your team. How are you thinking this is going to impact SaaS Optics as a whole? And then hoping there's alignment there. And if there's a bunch of gaps, you could probably help with references, or, hey, this is how this helped this other company's team. Do you feel like that would resonate with your boss? Does that feel right? Or?
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. When you can pull in stories of how people's lives are better, and then even better, if you can add in, say, a statistic to that saying, hey, this company, you know, used to struggle collecting on overdue invoices, and after they implemented our software, you know, they saw that drop by 85%, or anything along those lines, can be a really strong value add.
Yep. Okay. Makes sense. John, before we wrap, I'd love to hear more about SaaS Optics. Your career is growing there in a really cool way, but what's got you so excited about the company?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, I used to be a controller before I came to SaaS Optics. And so, you know, whether it was managing billing, making sure that our company got paid on time, you know, trying to pull together financial reports about the health of our subscription customers, that's just a really challenging process for me. And so when I came over to SaaS Optics really was purpose-built for providing solutions around all those things that I was experiencing as a controller. So whether it meant, you know, making sure that our invoices went out on time for a subscription business, making sure that we got paid on time, having really in-depth analytics around ARR, MRR, revenue, these are all things that we've been able to help companies with. And so for me, it's really cool to just be able to be in a position where the solutions that we're building are not only, you know, solving a pain that I personally had in the old, you know, my old life, but also, you know, that thousands of our customers are running through. and experiencing every single day. So yeah, if it's anything related to subscription management, you know, billing, payments, reporting, these are things that, you know, we're purpose built to help businesses with.
I love that. What's your favorite part about working there?
I mean, the culture of the company is truly, truly special. I think, you know, I've worked at a number of different organizations, whether it be, you know, large 100,000 plus employee bases or other fast growing companies. It's cliche to say, you know, the people, but it really is, you know, culturally and the management team that we have in place, the, you know, the investors and their support of our business is, it's truly unique and special to have all of those things aligned and really just a positive influence. So I love the people who I show up to work with on a daily basis. I love their commitment, not only to the organization, but to each other, and just seeing, you know, seeing different employees have, you know, they're growing families. You know, I joined the company, and very shortly after, you know, my wife and I found out that we were expecting our first kid, and just being able to, you know, experience a lot of that with really great people is special. So I just love the people who I get to work with on a day-to-day basis.
So cool. I feel like it's such a helpful reminder of companies are made of people, whether you're buying and selling or you're working somewhere, like the culture is really the people. So I love hearing that. And yeah, you complimented me on the sales process. You kind of remember that through me and Trip Actions, but I'd also remind, like, the buyers, sellers think of buyers kind of the same way, right? There are deals you do just because you have to do the deal. And there are deals that happen because there's like a really good relationship. There's a really good business case, and you know, it's going to continue past this one exchange. Hence, we're both in completely different roles, and here we are. So testament to that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's special when that happens. So.
Cool. John, yeah. Thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate your time, and we'll catch you next time.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, Eugene.